This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hello and welcome. I'm Suze and you're here today. We're flipping the switch on those old thought patterns that just don't serve you. I'm really excited to speak with you today and support you in wherever you are. Last week we were talking about sabotaging behavior and why do we sabotage ourselves. And I said we'd continue that this week, and we are. And one of the ways that we can get to that place of no longer sabotaging ourselves is by considering ourselves first. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how you consider yourself first and how you can incorporate that into your life. I am really, really interested in hearing your comments, your questions, your thoughts, where you've had some success with using some of the techniques and ideas that I've shared with you, what questions that you have. Do call in. It's toll free, 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062. And I'll be interested in hearing what you're thinking about this week and what questions that you have for me. Now, one of the things that I would like to encourage you to do is go have a listen to some of the archived shows that I've done. They're all listed on the page there on CTR Network. I have almost a year's worth of shows with CTR, and there's all kinds of topics. And I'm curious about what topics you would like me to address on upcoming shows. I was with them, did an interview on Peak of Ohio this week, and with Sue Jameson and Stephanie Van Hoos. And Sue told the story about how she met me, and she said it was actually a Hay House radio show that I did a year ago on honorably dissolving a partnership and walking through that in that way. And I thought, I wonder if it's time for me to do a show again about that. And so, you know, maybe watch for that coming up. But it's always interesting to me to find out what has really resonated with people and what you want to hear more about. Because the cool thing about belief repatterning is that it applies everywhere in your life. And so people will say to me, will this help me with, you know, fill in the blank. Will it help me with anxiety? Will it help me with this physical challenge I'm having? Will it help me stop smoking? Will it help me have a more successful life? Will it help me with my financial situation? Will it? Yes, 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 and yes. And the reason that I can say that with so much conviction is because belief repatterning teaches your mind to process information. Simply, that's what it does. It just gives your mind a pathway to follow to process information and to figure things out. So when you get stuck in that spin cycle, but what am I going to do? How do I do this? I don't know. It gives you a pathway to follow. It doesn't make whatever it is go away, but it does dissolve the negative charge or energy on it in a way that's really, really supportive. So I work with all kinds of people in all kinds of ways. So it's about how you perceive what's happening, not about what's happening. Okay? What's happening has no meaning until you place the meaning on it. And if you're operating from the downside of the line in a deficit place, you're going to be placing that kind of energy draining perception onto it, and then you're going to be getting more of it and getting more of it. And it really is as simple as getting yourself to the line and tipping yourself over the line just a little bit into that positive side, and then it takes off. And the reason that it does is quite logical, and it's a physiological thing, because our bodies release chemicals into the bloodstream. Our mind does that when whatever we're thinking about, so that it tells every cell how to respond. And so if you're thinking thoughts that are dragging you down and wearing you out, every cell's going to respond that way, and then you get more of it. Now, telling people to just switch their thoughts was what got me creating this in the first place. It was like, I get it. I get I should switch my thoughts. I understand I should be thinking positively. And I know that you do too. But the question is, how do you do it? And so that was the question I set out to answer. Now, I didn't sit down one day and think, I think I'll create a technique. I think I'll call it belief repatterning. And I think that maybe, you know, 20 years from now, I'll have a radio show and I'll talk to people about it. That's not how it happened, okay? I didn't start that way. So with all due respect, when people say start with the end in mind, there is a place for that. But oftentimes, you can't see that place. You can't see the end in mind. And so then it's like, well, I don't even know where to start. So I had a really wonderful client. I have all my clients are wonderful, but I was working with a wonderful client earlier today. And this gal's, you know, one of the things that many of us do is that she put herself away. She put herself in a box. And, you know, without getting into too much story, she had abuse and she put herself in a box. And now she doesn't know who she is. She's lost herself. And so, you know, a friend suggested that, in fact, a friend gifted her a session with me, which was very kind. And I did the first session with her, and then she came back for a second one because she's finding all of a sudden that she's starting to get her feet under her again. What's interesting is that when you put yourself away, it's kind of like putting yourself in a safety deposit box. And so if you've done that, you did it for a really good reason. And know that the key to that safety deposit box is in your hand. And you can open it up and take out whatever supports you, whatever works for you, and the rest of it can stay safely tucked in that safety deposit box until it's time for it to come out, until it's time for you to deal with it. Now, one of the very interesting things is that it is almost impossible to have the end in mind when front and center of your mind is all the racket of what's going on and how do I solve and what do I do and all of that stuff. And that's where most people's minds are preoccupied. So I'm going to do a quick repatterning with everyone. Follow along. I'll say it once and then you repeat it. And we're going to move from feeling preoccupied into being present for ourselves. Okay? So moving from feeling preoccupied into being present for ourselves. And I'm just jotting that down on a piece of paper. I put preoccupied on the left-hand side with a down arrow. Make a column. On the right-hand side column, I put present with myself. Okay? And we're going to walk through forgiveness, permission, choice, freedom, affirmation, and surrender. Because those are the stepping stones. Those are the lane changes. Those are the gradual move it towards. Because if I had you say, I am present with myself, the monkey in your head is probably going to say, no, you're not. You're preoccupied thinking about your credit card debt. Or no, you're not. You're preoccupied thinking about your friend that just passed away. Or no, you're not. You're preoccupied thinking about, okay, whatever it is. It doesn't mean you can't think about those things, but it's how you think about them. And if they take you out of being present with yourself. Does that make sense? It's how you think about it. And so the repatterning technique allows you to process the information so that you can be in that place where you can think about what the end in mind is. You can think about how to go about doing something. Your creative mind is unable to function when you're on the downside of the line. I'm going to say that again. Your creative mind is unable to function when you are on the downside of the line. When you're on the side of the line that drains your energy, you are in flight or fight. You are in survival mode. You don't have time to think creatively. You are reacting. You are unable to respond. Repatterning allows you to get to the line, get over the line, so that you have access now to all that creativity so that you could respond instead of react. I forgive myself for believing I need to stay preoccupied with things that drain my energy. I'll get you to repeat that. I forgive myself for believing I need to stay preoccupied with things that drain my energy. and breathe it in. And let it go. The reason that we breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth is to really integrate the thought, really take it in, be very present with it, be very focused on it, bring it to a consciousness, because we're bringing our breathing to consciousness. Breathing is something that we generally do in a subconscious way or an unconscious way. And we're being very conscious with it. And so then we tie this conscious idea together with the act of consciously breathing. Okay? I give myself permission to be present with myself, just like I am with my breathing right now. I give myself permission to be present with myself, just like I am with my breathing right now. And breathe that in. And let it go. I give myself permission to dissolve the preoccupation by being present with myself. I give myself permission to dissolve the preoccupation by being present with myself. Breathe that in. And let it go. I choose to be present with myself. I have control over that. I choose to be present with myself. I have control over that. And breathe it in and let it go. When I'm present with myself, I'm free to be creative. When I'm present with myself, I'm free to be creative. And breathe that in. By creative, I'm not talking necessarily about painting a picture or writing a symphony. I'm talking about letting your thoughts be creative. Letting your thoughts come up with the idea that's going to move you through to the next step. Okay? I give myself permission to be creative by being grounded in me. I give myself permission to be creative by being grounded in me. And let it go. Okay? The affirmation stage is where you think about, what do I already know? Where have I already been grounded in myself? And then you use that as an example to really open up your mind to that possibility. I know how it feels to be grounded. I experienced it yesterday morning when I looked at the sunrise. I know what it feels like to be grounded. I experienced it yesterday when I, and you can fill in your own. And the more specific it is, the better. So I would say when I looked at the sunrise and noticed that beautiful crescent moon and that bright, bright star. I took a picture of it and then I put it into the newsletter. I was very present with it. Okay, so that's the conversation you have with yourself. Where was I really present with myself recently? And if the monkey in your head says you haven't been present with yourself for years, you're never, starts doing that to you, it's okay. Just let it be. Just let it be. Okay? Go to that voice and say, I know I wasn't present then, and I'm choosing to be present right now. Bye. Okay. I'm going to give you a list of things that will always bring you to the present. One of them is drinking water, having a sip of water. We must be very present when we do that. Otherwise, we will choke. And so we make sure that we're present for it. And just think, if somebody's really upset and you get them a glass of water or a cup of tea and you hand it to them, they have to be present in order to drink it. They have to calm themselves in order to drink it. So that's one way that you can always be present with yourself. Another way that you can be present with yourself always is a big, deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. That always works. Again, because we're wired, that's a basic instinct. So your body goes, okay, I'm all right. I'm getting a big rush of oxygen. Life is good. I can relax. Okay. And then that brings you to the line and being present with yourself. When I was doing live productions, I used to do a lot of live music productions. I still do some, not as much as I used to, but I still do some. One of the things that I would suggest to people as they were going on stage, if they were feeling nervous, and you can try this, it works even if you're not going on stage, but it just lets you get present with yourself. Put your index finger of your dominant hand, so the hand that you write with, so for many people, that's the right hand, but if you write with your left hand, it would be your left hand. Put the index finger, that's your Peter pointer finger, okay? Put that finger in your belly button or on your belly button if you have an outie. Now, your belly button is your source place. It's where you began. It's where your life started. It's your nurturing place. It's that place where you feel connected, okay? You put your finger there and you take in a great big deep breath and connect with yourself. Okay, a big deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Or you put your finger there and take a sip of water. Do that 3 times with that breath or the sip of water, and you will find yourself calm, focused, and connected with yourself. It works every time. I know how to be present with myself, and I actively practice it. I know how to be present with myself. And I actively practice it and breathe that in and let it go. Now, if your monkey's saying, I don't know how to be actively present with myself, phone me at 877-230-3062. And if you are finding that you're listening to this at some other time and you can't call in because I'm not here live, send me an email. You can send an email to radio@beliefrepatterning.com. If you don't know how to spell beliefrepatterning.com, you can go to my website, suzecasey.com, or you can go to the CTR website and take a look at my bio page. It's right there. I'll give it to you now, but it's right there. It's belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, repatterning, R-E, pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N-I-N-G. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you and finding ways that you are being present and finding ways that I can support you in being present with yourself, because that's really all we're ever asked to do, is to be present with ourselves and to show up as ourselves. And whenever we sabotage, second guess, self-doubt, we remove the unique genuineness that is us from being present in the world and from bringing what we can to the world. So I started the show by saying one of the ways that we sabotage ourselves is by not being present. So one of the ways that we support ourselves is by being present. So when I talked about the topic for today, I said one of the ways that we let others know that we care about them is by making them a priority. I let the people in my life know that I care about them by making them a priority. You do that too. So if you want to let yourself know that you care about yourself, you want to be present with yourself, you need to make it a priority. So the forgetting to make yourself a priority puts you in the I don't matter place, which is the gate to victimization. You do matter. You are important. So give yourself permission to be the priority at the beginning of your day. Give yourself permission to be the priority at the beginning of your day. Now, that little excerpt is taken from page 241 of my book, Belief Repatterning, The Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thoughts. It doesn't matter why you haven't or why you don't make yourself a priority at the beginning of the day. I'm suggesting that you give yourself permission to be the priority. What would that look like for you? What would be putting yourself first look like for you? I can tell you what it looks like for me, and it's very interesting because I have trained myself to do this, and it doesn't take a lot of time. It's not hard to do. It's just a little bit of conscious presence decision. I've decided that I always get up in the morning, and the first thing I do okay, after I take care of my biological needs, okay, the first thing that I do, well, the very first thing I do when I wake up is I put a smile on my face. My first conscious thought is smile. And I usually find myself there, but if I'm not there, it's like smile, and I smile. And then I say, today is an awesome day, or today is a great day, or today is an amazing day, whatever I'm wanting that day to manifest at. Okay? And then the next thing I do is that I grab my book that I'm working on and I read a section out of it and I journal. Now, the book that I'm working on varies. The one that I usually do in January, and I'm doing this year in January, is The Abundance Book by John Randolph Price. I find it to be a really wonderful thing. It's got a 40-day activity, and I have done that in January for years. And it's just a habit I have. It's just a habit. And I've developed the habit. Now, was I great at it at first? No, I wasn't great at it at first, but I got very good at it. And then I choose my word for the day. I've set up the 365 app so that you can have a word for today easily. You don't even have to remember to do it. Just all you have to do is go get the app, and then one will get sent to you every day. And then it will remind you maybe if you want to pick something else or combine it with that word. And then I journal about that. And then I go and I spend 10 minutes on my whole body vibrational machine. And I just let it sink in. And I suggest that you add some kind of physical something to that, whether it be yoga or stretching or a quick walk around the block or whatever kind of physical things that work for you. And while you're doing that physical thing, you hold the energy of that thought of what you've been journaling or what you've been thinking about. That's what I do. You don't have to do that. Some people have a cup of tea and look out the window and think about their day. That's okay. Whatever it is, but consider yourself first. We're going to take a really quick break. But before we do that, I want to just say hi to Meg. She's wanting some support on putting herself first. Hi, Meg.
Hi, Sue.
Is this the Meg in North Carolina that I talked to last night?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to, I'm sure there's more than one Meg in North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm sure there is as well.
So I just wanted to see if it was you. So thank you so much for calling in. And you're wanting some help on learning to put yourself first. Are you willing to guinea pig for us?
I am.
Fabulous. I so appreciate it. What I'm going to ask you to do is, while we're on break, make a list of the things that would let you know that you put yourself first. So this might be some of the things that you've been putting off. This might be some of the things that you wish you had time for. This might be some of the things that you always do. You know, I love holidays because I always read the newspaper or whatever it is. Like, I love holidays because I always do the crossword puzzle, or those things that you do when you have holiday time that you really like. The things that you know that support you. The things that your friends do that support you. I really appreciate my friend Kathleen because she always does this for me. Those kinds of things. I want you to think about that while we're on the break for 2 minutes. Can you do that, Meg?
Sure.
Okay. And I'm going to encourage everyone else who's listening, whether you're listening live or listening to this in the archives, to do the same exercise. And then when we come back, I'm going to help Meg leverage that and show you how to do it as well. So thanks for calling in, Meg. I'll be back with you in 2 minutes. We're going to take a short break. And while we're taking that break, focus on the things support you, that put you first, that let you know that you're a priority. You're listening to Flipping the Switch. I'm Suze Casey. We'll be right back. Are you ready to integrate belief repatterning into your everyday way of being? Discover effective ways to flip your switch between your own inner critic and inner coach. Changing your thoughts changes your behavior and creates the outcomes you desire personally, professionally, physically, and spiritually. Join me for the teleseminar. Over 3 weeks, you'll receive focused, individualized, coached practice time, and we'll walk through the book,
I'll support you with more practical suggestions. Your $99 investment also gives you access to our Learning Center and recordings of all the calls. For upcoming dates and to register, visit beliefrepatterning.com. That's belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, repatterning, R-E, the word pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N-I-N-G.com, or call 403-286-9380. Learn how your inner thoughts and self-talk affects your behavior, your energy, and the energy of others. You can and will repattern anything you choose. If you spoke to your friends the way you speak to yourself, how many friends would you have? Most of us are very aware of the damage the words of others do to our perception of ourselves. But what we aren't as aware of is the severity of the damage we do to ourselves with the insistent chatter of our inner critic. More than the words of others, it is our own self-talk that determines our outcomes, whether success or stuck, in all areas of our lives. I'm Suze Casey, encouraging you to move through that old limiting self-talk with a one-on-one session. You'll find all our licensed practitioners on beliefrepatterning.com. That's belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, repatterning, R-E, the word pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N-I-N-G.com. We all offer individual sessions and ongoing coaching programs. Know you can and will repattern anything you choose.
You've learned it, now live it. You've read the books and studied the theories, but the practical application is hanging you up. Are you tired of beating yourself up for not living what you know to be true? This is Suze Casey, and I invite you to integrate your learning through easy-to-practice exercise found in my book, Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thought. It's available through hayhouse.com or your local bookstore.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi, and welcome back. I hope that you found that exercise of just thinking about some of those things that support you. Think about some of those things that you like to do. Thinking about some of those things that people that you care about do for you has helped you just kind of focus in that direction. Now, lots of people will say to me, how come I don't put myself first? And it's like, it doesn't matter how come you haven't. It's about starting to do it now. The only thing that's really interesting is I told you what I do first thing in the morning. And the last couple of days, I've been doing some really interesting work with a biofeedback practitioner. And one of the side things that's been happening is that I'm wide awake in the evening and have all kinds of energy. And so haven't been going to sleep until like 1 o'clock. I'm not lying around tossing and turning. I'm being just like I'm reading books and I'm writing things and I'm just like I'm on fire. I've got all this energy. And I've been needing to get up early because I've had things to get up early. And I think, well, I'll set my alarm. You know, I typically don't set my alarm, but I'll set my alarm if I've got something that I have to be up for. And, because it's much better for you to wake up naturally. If you can train yourself to do that, there's something that you can do for yourself. But anyway, and yes, I help people with that too. However, what's really fascinating is that I've been setting my alarm for kind of the last possible moment that I can get up, get dressed, and be ready to do whatever it is that I have to do. My routine that I do in the morning takes me about 45 minutes with the writing and the whole body vibration machine and the meditation that I do. Takes me about 45 minutes. And what I discovered the last two mornings is that I woke up 45 minutes before I set the alarm clock. Now, what's interesting is I didn't set it for the same time both days. So it's not a coincidence. My body knows that it's a habit. And so subconsciously, it wakes me up in time to do it. Even though I don't, you know, I'm not getting my 8 hours or 9 hours of sleep. And I still have lots of energy. Now, can I do that, sustain that for forever? No, obviously. And so tonight is I'm relaxing and I've got a plan for a nice warm bath and getting myself into bed early and getting a great night's sleep. And tomorrow is a day that I've got some flexibility in. So I'll be able to really gift myself some time because I've been going really full on. But it's about that considering yourself first and putting yourself as a priority. So Meg, how did you find that exercise for yourself?
I actually came up with quite a list. I was a little bit surprised. I think I had 8-9 items.
Nice. Okay. Now, Are you open to sharing with listeners what your belief repatterning journey has been?
Sure. I actually started listening to you when you were on Hay House, and then actually took Flip Your Switch and Beyond the Basics this fall, and I'm currently in Apprentice 1 to become a practitioner. So I'm very excited. When I signed up for Flip Your Switch, I wasn't planning to go into Apprentice. So kind of been a fun journey to kind of see how everything unfolds.
Well, and the interesting, just as an aside, it's not a requirement, you know, Flip Your Switch
yeah.
is for everybody, but sometimes that does happen as people go, you know what, I want to learn more and I want to incorporate, because you've already got a couple of other businesses that you do and you could incorporate it in, and that's awesome. But what I think is interesting is that you phoned in because you wanted to work on putting yourself first, and you surprised yourself by how many things that you were able to come up with on your list.
Yeah, I think I'd like to have more.
Okay.
But, you know, I think, and when I was listening to the routine you have in the morning, I think that's really where, you know, I could definitely have some room to create a routine. So I really don't have a set routine right now because I have so many, you know, different activities that I do. I think that would probably be the most helpful place.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in my book, I talk about the first 10 minutes. And it's really important what you do for that first 10 minutes of the day. And people say to me, I don't have time. And it's like, okay, then. And are you wondering why you're always feeling rushed? Are you wondering why you never have time for it? Because you've set that as your pattern for the day. Now, don't try to start at a 45-minute routine. Begin with 10 or even 5, okay? And I'm not talking about a routine that's like having a shower, okay? That's what we do to, you know, that's already a routine that's there, or brushing your teeth or making your lunch. It's a routine of something that nurtures you and does it. So look at that list of 9 things that you have. And is there something that you could incorporate into first thing in the morning, Meg?
Yeah, I think I'm currently picking a word of the day in the morning, but I'm not always doing it consistently first thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I do, and it's been kind of a routine of mine for a very long time, is to get my cup of coffee and sit either in my kitchen or in my office and watch the various bird feeders I have and just watch all the birds in the morning. So I think that might be something that I could put together.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So while you're watching the birds, you can even focus on your word.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, this is, you know, you can meld things together that are supportive for you, which is, you know, and what the whole body vibrational machine piece for me, it's interesting because I had bought the machine years ago and it used to be in the bathroom, on the level of where my office was. And I thought, oh, I'll use that, you know, as a break in between clients or, you know, to just get my energy back up or to, and I didn't use it. And so when I moved into my current place, I put it in my bedroom.
Mm.
And it's like, it's there. And I do not hang laundry on it. Okay. I use it now. And it took a little while for me to get into the habit of doing it every day. But I would say that I probably, you know, it's probably been several months now. And if I try to go out of the door of my bedroom without doing it, it feels like I, you know, forgot to brush my teeth. It's that kind of a feeling. And so just being gentle with yourself as you establish something that is supportive of you.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would like to do, though, just to give people an idea of how, I mean, they listen to me do the patterns all the time, to give people an idea of how easy it is to learn to do this for yourself. Because as you said, you were listening and it was like September or October when you took Flip. And then the basics, and then we've just started the apprentice program. But would you feel comfortable walking through this process, and I'm just going to coach you on it?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So we're thinking of the idea of putting yourself first. Okay. So what would the feeling be, Meg, if you were putting yourself first? How would that feel?
And it's actually the word I have for today. It feels very supportive.
Okay.
I'm supportive. Supportive and ease. Would be the two words that pop in my head.
Okay, so supportive and ease.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to just check in with yourself and see if it's more than that?
No.
Okay. So what I just asked Meg to do, and it's one of the things that I teach you how to do in Flip Your Switch, is to use muscle testing to check in with yourself, just to touch base. What's going on? Is that what it is? Okay. So can you walk through a series of statements, forgiveness, permission, choice, freedom, affirmation, surrender, using that supportive and ease?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just writing the words down so I don't forget them.
And it's a really good idea. I was going to suggest you do that. It's a really good idea to do that because you get into your mind and you start forgetting them. And so that's a great habit to be in. What I'm going to do, Meg, is I'm going to suggest that you say it and mm-hmm. then I'll repeat it so that okay. as I'm repeating it, people who are listening can repeat it. Okay. And if I get a monkey pop up, I'm going to let you know what that monkey is. And together you and I will figure out what the next statement would be. Does that,
okay.
that work for you?
That works.
Okay. So. On your mark, get set, go. A forgiveness statement around supportive okay. and ease.
I forgive myself for believing that I don't have something already in place that can be supportive and give me ease.
I forgive myself for believing that I don't already have something in place that can be supportive of me and give me ease. Nice. No monkey on my end. Any monkey on your end?
No.
Okay. So let's move to permission.
Okay. I give myself permission to look at the things I'm already doing and find a way to create the first 10 minutes of my day in a way that's supportive with ease.
That's a really long one. I'm going to give myself a chance on that one. Okay. I give myself permission to look at my first 10 minutes of the day. And find a way to incorporate, I can't remember if that's the word you said, but something like that, to incorporate things that are already supportive and bring me ease. Was that close?
It was very close. I said create instead of incorporate.
Okay, create. Cool. All right. And it's really more about the feeling, isn't it, than the exact
right.
words. You know, it's not a script. And for those of you who are listening, Meg, are you scripty? Is this off a script or is this something written down or are you just...
No, this is very much on the fly.
On the fly, out of the top of your head. So this is how good you've gotten at it. And, you know, I think people who are listening are going to go, man, she's just as good as Suze is. So other than they might be a bit long, but that's okay. You know, as long as they work. Okay. So we're at permission. So let's go to choice.
Okay. I can either choose to feel rushed as I start my day, or I can choose to begin it in a supportive manner with ease.
I can either choose to feel rushed at the beginning of my day, or I can choose to start my day in a supportive way with ease. I choose supportive and ease. What do you choose?
I consciously choose supportive and ease.
Good. I consciously choose supportive and ease. Sorry, but my monkey was going, I want to choose.
Well, I didn't want to make it too long.
Exactly. Okay, cool. Okay. So after choice, then comes the freedom stage, which is really the trying it on one. So let's try it on.
Okay. I am free to start my day with support and ease.
I am free to start my day with support and ease and breathe it in. And my monkey said, that's why I smile first thing. I hadn't even thought about that being supportive and ease. It's just, that's why I do it. I just thought it was a good idea. So I did.
So yeah. Nice.
Yeah. But it does.
Coach was like, yeah. And it goes a lot better, doesn't it?
Yeah. And you know, I'll share with listeners where I started that smiling first thing in the morning. And I may have talked about this last week. I can never remember whether I've talked about it on the show or in one of the courses I've been teaching or with a client, but it doesn't matter because they all bear repeating. But the reason that I started smiling first thing in the morning was I was listening to, Louise Hay and Cheryl Richardson at one of the I Can Do It conferences last year or maybe even a year and a half ago. And they were talking about self-nurturing. And Louise talked about how in the morning she wakes up and the first thing she does is she thanks her bed for a great sleep. And everybody in the audience laughed. Now, I go to several of the I Can Do It conferences, and I heard her give the same talk and the same example, and the same response happened, and people laughed. And so I was coming home, I thought, well, I'm going to try it. You know, Louise says it works, why not? And so I started trying it, and I would make myself laugh. And then I thought, you know what? I'm just going to smile first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just do that. And I started doing it, and it was a habit that started so quickly. And now it's just there, and it's just so delightful to wake up in that kind of like, hello, instead of the, oh, God, you know, or any of that. It's just like I smile, and then I look at the clock, and it's like, okay. And sometimes I look at the clock, and it's 4 o'clock, and I go, yay, I get to roll over and go back to sleep. And sometimes I look at the clock, and it's 6:30 or 7, I go, yay, I get to get up and do my journaling. It's like it's always good, whatever it is. So we are at affirmation. So the affirmation stage is an exact example. So I would say something like, I create support and ease in my day by beginning it with a smile. What do you want to use as an affirmation? It's something that you're already doing. And then what you can do is tie the new habit to it.
Okay. I create support and ease in my day when I sit and enjoy my first cup of coffee watching the birds.
That in. And I'm not repeating it because that was yours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So people that are listening, how do you create support and ease in your day? And if your monkey's saying, you don't ever do it, pick something from that list and incorporate it. So then you would do something like, I give myself permission, or I choose. So Meg, what's one of the things that's on your list that you'd like to incorporate into the first 10 minutes?
I'd really like to incorporate my word of the day into that. The days where I do it first thing go so much more smoothly than when I'm doing it at lunch or sometimes dinner time.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Really like to link that in.
Cool. So are you ready for a Sue's True Confessions?
Sure.
You know, when I began doing it consistently first thing every day, like every day all the time? April 2013, when the 365 application came out. I'd always picked a word of the day, but I had the same experience as you, Meg, that sometimes it would be like, I'd be going, okay, so what was my word today that I'm supposed to be reflecting on? And I'm like, freak, I didn't pick a word today. I'd look at my journal. I didn't journal today. And so then I would journal and do my word of the day at 10:30 at night. Okay. So it's okay. It's called the habit will happen when it happens. And I still was a successful belief repatterning practitioner and written a book for Hay House and had a radio show and wasn't doing it consistently first thing in the morning for 10, but I didn't beat myself up about it. It's not what happens to you. It's how you navigate what happens to you. And so when people said to me, I love the word of the day exercise, I just forget to do it. And I thought, how could I help people remember it? And I thought, well, we'll make it happen. We'll send them a reminder. And I went, yippee, then I'll have one too. That works. And so something that you might want to do, and this is for everyone listening, this is not just for Meg, it's like, think about what you would give to somebody else and then give that to yourself. That's pretty simple. So Meg, how about a choice statement? I choose to, and put the what you want to do first thing.
I choose to enjoy my coffee and reflect on my word of the day. The birds
remind me to do that.
And the birds remind me to do that.
Super, super effective way to get a new habit is to tie it into a habit you already have. Okay? Super effective way. And your monkeys having anything to say about this?
Yeah, it was kind of like, I'm glad you finally realized you could tie it to something else. My monkey's a little bit snarky today.
Okay, so just go to the snarky monkey and say, thanks for the feedback, and I'd appreciate if you'd use a kinder tone next time. Okay. And it's about talking to those monkeys like you would a 3-year-old. You know, please use your kind words. Like, I can hear you better then. And I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. You know? Because when we push that critic away, that's when we end up, you know, like I was talking at the top of the show about the client that I had that had put herself in a box because she was pushing herself away and she locked herself down. I mean, I'd lock myself down too if I was always beaten up on myself. It's the only place it's safe. Okay? So, Meg, surrender statement around this. And you can use what the monkey said about it's about time or finally. I'm so glad that I have, or something like that. Or it's the perfect time.
So many choices. Now is the perfect time for me to create a supportive and peaceful start to my day by enjoying my coffee and reflecting on my work as I watch the birds.
Yeah, breathe it in. How's the monkey say about that one?
Quiet. Very quiet.
So everybody who's listening, I would encourage you to do that one. Now is the perfect time for me to create support and ease first thing in my day by, and then fill in the blank. Okay. Meg, you did an awesome job. Thank you so much. Any comments that you want to make around the process that we just did?
No, I mean, I really wasn't, this was all off the top of my head, and, you know, other than me liking to do complex sentences, I mean, it's pretty simple to learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of one of the things you're like, man, I wish I knew this 10 years ago.
And you know what? Now's the perfect time.
Exactly.
And so people often ask me, Meg, what's the difference between, like, should I read the book? Should I work with a practitioner? Should I take Flip Your Switch? Should I take one of the seminars? What would you suggest having, you know, I mean, it's fine for me to give people suggestions, but what would you suggest as somebody who came to Belief Repatterning?
Well, I started by listening to the radio show. So I think that was, like, my first step. So that's, like, going from, like, you know, standing still to walking. And then I got the book, and I read the book, so that's like going from walking to riding a bike. And taking Flip was like going from a bike to a moped. So, you know, each mode is a little bit faster to get from where you were to where you want to be. And working with a practitioner is like having a motorcycle or having someone push you really hard on your moped.
Mm-hmm.
But push isn't the right word. More like giving you a huge boost. Because sometimes you can't see when you're the forest, it's hard to see the trees. So sometimes we have our own blind spots, and having someone work with you really can help see kind of where the monkey's been, you know, chattering along, and you maybe haven't heard it or stopped hearing it. So.
Yeah, and that's you know, there's no right or wrong place to start or right or wrong time to start. It's just start, you know. I got a text from one of my girlfriends. It's funny because a couple of my friends, the pink cloud thinking person is jumping to mind because he was like, man, nothing I say is sacred. And I said, that's right. When you say things around me or you send me texts or you send me emails, it's like I'm likely to use them. You know, this as fodder here because it's just helpful, you know, because they're real life examples. And so anyway, I had one of my friends, and I won't say her name to maintain her anonymity, so you don't have to worry about me, you know, saying things that will will let people know what you're thinking. I do maintain confidentiality, but you know, sometimes the examples are really helpful. So this friend of mine has just gone through a separation. And so she said something about, you know, still have another stupid form for the bank to accept my shares for him. So still feeling like I haven't scraped him off yet, but soon. Well, can you imagine me receiving a text like that? You know, I just, and then she said, then I can concentrate on me and how to incorporate more fun and interesting things into my life. So I just said, we can change that stuff up for sure. Meanwhile, concentrate on you first and his energy will dissolve. Trying to scrape him off creates resistance. and push back energetically. You didn't ask, but I'm nudging you anyway. And so then she said, you know, good advice, thanks. And today I realized I've been looking at my situation with him in the wrong way, and I'm taking back control, feeling better already as I'm not giving him time in my thoughts. Must figure out, though, how to keep myself moving onto the positive side of the line. So much time spent and energy spent on acquiring my freedom that I'm not sure what to do next. And this is often what happens is we have one goal and we get there and then it's like, oh, now what? Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's about that. And so I just said, by the way, it wasn't a wrong way. There's just a much more supportive way that you can be with yourself. And so let's focus on that. It wasn't a wrong way that you did. It's just, you know, so it wasn't wrong what you've been doing in the past. There's just other supportive ways that you can. And however it's best for you to learn, whether that's by grabbing the book, listening to the radio shows in the archives, getting the app, you know, there's lots and lots and lots of ways to support yourself in repatterning. And, you told a really interesting story yesterday about things, some of the things that you'd learned from the This Year's Going to Be Different seminar that you were in on, and how you were helping some of the folks that you were working with. Can you share that with the listeners a bit?
Oh, sure. I'm a advisor. I work with a group of women at a local university. 45 women, ages 18 to 22. And we had our officer retreat last Saturday. And it's usually we look back on the prior year and, you know, do a scorecard. You know, it takes about an hour to do the scorecard, and we always set goals. And I've been working with these women for about 4 years. You know, so I've gotten to know them all pretty well. And we always set goals from what we screwed up. And so I said, you know, before we start setting goals this time, and there were a couple other advisors in the room, you know, involvement has gone from 10 years being involved. I've got three, and then the other two advisors were new. I said, instead of setting goals from where we screwed up, let's start with where we want to, what we want to be this year, and then let the goals fall from that. And I'm like, oh, and the president of this group is actually an education major. She's studying to be a teacher. She says, I've never thought of setting goals that way. But, you know, it was interesting because they set their goals and they were all pretty. They got really kind of confused because I said, well, we're going to do this new way. And one of the women raised her hand. She goes, what is the new way? I said, we are creating it right now. And it was really funny because they, you know, have been in the education system for 12 to 15 years. And they've always approached goals from the downside of the line. And having someone say, let's do it from the other side, it's just kind of like I took away their compass. So,
But where has the compass that we've been using gotten us? You know, and if it's getting you where you want to go, keep using the compass. And if it's not, you know, you may want to think, maybe my compass needs a little adjustment, needs a little,
right.
You know. Yeah, so,
well,
yeah.
The compass they've been using, I mean, they've set consistently the same goals every year. I went back and kept my notes from prior years.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, the goals were different.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And look forward to continuing to work with you. Meg's, she said, studying to be an apprentice. And so look for her name and number on our practitioner page as of the 1st of March, because she'll be beginning to work with clients. And if you're interested in learning how to use belief repatterning for yourself, do send a note and we will get back to you at info@beliefrepatterning.com or radio@beliefrepatterning.com. Both of those will get to us and we'll get you information. Thanks so much for coming, Meg. We're just about at the end of the show, so I'm going to say love you and leave you and give you a big hug and appreciate you being open and willing to play today. That was really fun. And I know that you supported listeners a lot in helping them see how they can use this for themselves. So thanks for being here.
Well, thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
So, when I ask people to consider themselves first, you think I'm asking them to commit a crime. If I commit myself first, isn't that being egotistical? Well, actually, no. Egotistical is simply a cover-up for not feeling good about yourself. What you are doing when you consider yourself first is learning to feel better about yourself by giving yourself some time, and that allows that creative mind to surface. You can and will repattern absolutely anything you choose. Your perception of things comes from what you believe in, and your beliefs can change like flipping a switch. Know you can and will repattern anything you choose. I'll be back here next week to support you with that. And we're going to talk about relationships in the month of February and how you can improve those relationships in your life. Till then, take care. See you next week. Bye-bye.